knew the extents of your beauty, magic, and intelligence before, but being pregnant has shown me the real wildness of you, and more so, the humility of you. I carry this starseed in my womb, knowing that I'm not growing her, you are. I'm not instructing her evolution, you are. I'm not innately nurturing her, you are. I'm not the one who helps her grow from a scallion size to a cauliflower size, thanks baby app. You are. You trusted me with your greatest creative expression, a new being on earth. And even that gift alone teaches me more about your ability to trust, to gift, to know without any doubt of what we're capable. You are grooming me for motherhood, and I'm paying attention. It's easy as a mother to worry about our babies. I already have the mother worry. But then I watch you and how you are with all of us. You don't worry about a thing. You're there when we need you, but you don't interfere with our evolution. You don't need to, because our imperfect evolution is just right. I know that's our job for you too, to not interfere with you, to not interfere with the nature of our planet, to not interfere with the nature of your expressions. And yes, I do use that as an excuse not to do my hair. I have lion hair, because hashtag what would Mother Nature do? Mother Nature wouldn't curl or straighten her hair. She'd let it be wild, so I let it be wild. She'd roam barefaced and barefoot, and so I do that too. I don't want to get too serious here, Mona. I know that what you want from us isn't for us to gather in a depressed protest that further separates us on Earth. I know that you want us to rise up to where you are, to come and meet you up there in your energetic postcode that is so damn clear for us to see. When I'm in Sedona looking from the top of Airport Hill, that's when I feel your vibration the most clearly. I don't even bother taking my phone out anymore because even the new iPhone can't capture that portrait of your beauty. I know where you are energetically, and I know that is our goal. A mum wants her kids to play, but to be responsible for the world around them. And that's what you want from us. I hear you. We are all an extension of you. Without us even having to think about it, you gift us your magical capabilities, and we walk this earth as if they're our own. We are brilliant, but you are more so. And I'm so grateful that you trust us to walk this earth during this time that often feels chaotic and confused, while never swaying from your vibe. You love, you nurture, you trust, you know, you provide, and you roar when you need to, just like mums. We will upgrade our vibration. We will upgrade our action. As a generation, I promise that we are getting it and being the best bridge we can be for the generation to follow so they can thrive here, just like we are, but even more astronomically. Thank you for hiring us. Bonuses are not required, although I know you'll give them to us anyway, because that's just what you do. Love, PK. WWMND. What would Mother Nature do? Do what Mother Nature does for Mother Nature. First, a quote by Paul Hawken. Nature beckons you to be on her side. You couldn't ask for a better boss. My next tattoo is WWMND. What would Mother Nature do? I mean, seriously, is there anyone or anything more badass than her? She's the sidekick to Source, yet she is equally as magnificent. She's the greatest nurturer and provider any human or animal ever has the privilege to witness. Just look at a tree or a sunset or the ocean, and you can see how big the boldness of her love is. I mean it. Go outside and just look. Mother Nature is our greatest mentor and our greatest example of how to live a life so rich and generous that the whole world benefits. And you are the greatest creative expression of Mother Nature. Right now it's time you and we start acting like it. We can't talk about giving a shit without exploring how we can do more for our Earth. I don't need to tell you why it's important that we protect and respect her. We all know that she's our home. It's never amiss to remind you, though, that it only takes one look at our children or grandchildren to remember just why this conversation needs to be at the forefront of our leadership. I recently went to see Jane Goodall speak live. She's one of my heroes. Go and see her speak if you haven't, because her grace is otherworldly. And she said, "Have you heard that quote? We didn't inherit this planet from our ancestors. We borrowed it from our children." Well, we're systematically stealing it from our children. It pierced me to hear her say that. I looked down at my pregnant belly, at my daughter who'd be living on this earth long after I wasn't, and I thought to myself, what else is there to this conversation? I don't think people are ignorant to the actions we need to take in order to halt the rapid extinction of species and reverse the many statistics that suggest our world is in real danger. Just to name a wee few, over 110 million Americans live amongst such high levels of air pollution the government considers it harmful for their health. 1 billion birds and mammals die of ingesting plastic each year. Thanks treehugger.com and oceancrusaders.org. One look at the NASA page and you can see evidence of the sea levels rising, threatening coastal towns in the next decade, decreased snow cover, shrinking ice sheets, the ocean acidifying, and extreme weather events increasing. Some joke that global warming is a hoax. It seems pretty damn hot in Arizona. Some people find peace in this logic, but you and I, we can't. We've got to do more than most. That's what superheroes do. But I recycle, I don't eat meat, I drive a hybrid car, and I go to protest 3 times a year. What more can I do? While we're being called to find our fire and stand up and fight for what is right for our earth, there is more to it. Protests are not the be-all and end-all of our calling and our mission here. Neither is recycling, composting, turning your house solar, going vegan, swearing off plastic, and shopping with a calico bag. Those are upgraded actions, which are critical, and you get a big high five if you're implementing more green practices in your life. But what is even more critical is the work we're doing behind the scenes. The message we share that isn't told by our Instagram pages or our Facebook posts, or Leo's new climate change documentary, or the fact we wear a biodegradable pair of undies. This is the work that nobody can see at all, but the earth can feel. This is the work of upgrading your vibration. Upgraded action plus upgraded vibration equals more harmony with Mother Earth. Our work for the planet and our actions has to be accompanied by an upgraded vibration, and we must learn to live in a way that is more like hers. Mother Nature has a way of moving, creating, and acting, and for us to really help her, our goal has to be to make our vibration more like hers. What would Mother Nature do? If you are aware and clear enough about your connection to Earth that you feel called to protest or give money to Standing Rock or remove all plastic from your household, but you do so with an energy of, I can't believe people are so fucking asleep and don't give a shit, then is your vibration supporting the goal of your actions? One day, I watched Donald Trump on TV gleefully sign the executive orders to begin work on the Dakota Pipeline, drilling into sacred Native American lands, polluting the clean water, abusing the indigenous people of our earth. I was sitting there with the next generation of humanity in my womb. My stomach started to knot up. I looked to my husband with tears in my eyes, but a body full of nausea and rage. I whispered to him every fuck and shit and motherfucker I could so as to not draw attention. We were in a waiting room. I wasn't just upset. I was on the verge of spewing all over the waiting room. I was furious. His ignorance, the complete dishonor he was showing to our earth. I was heartbroken for the indigenous people and all people of our earth who give their lives to protecting our planet so that all people can thrive here. A few hours later, after a raging Facebook post, I finally cooled down. I reminded myself of the one thing I had shared from stage just a few months prior at the New Way Live in Sydney. What Mother Nature wants most from us now, even more so than our action in making a stand for her, is for us to go to work on raising our frequency to be more like hers. I raged, because I'm human as fuck, and then I asked myself the question, what would Mother Nature do? Practice compassion. He is just doing his very best with what he knows. As mad as I was, that felt better than being mad. My greatest work, and yours too, is not going to be in the, how mad can I get at people who don't agree with me? It's going to be, how much more often can I respond how Mother Nature responds? We don't fight fire with fire, and we don't fight a lack of compassion with a lack of compassion. Yes, I can donate money to Standing Rock. I can buy trees for people's birthdays instead of gifts. I can turn my entire house solar, and I can dedicate a whole segment at my event to bringing awareness to these fights for the earth. I can eat a plant-based diet, recycle, and compost, wear clothing that is sustainable, bring awareness to all through my work, watch documentaries, like Cowspiracy, and share them online with my people, and give my time to projects that are raising money for our pursuits for Mother Earth. I can live in a way that I feel supports our planet, but no matter what I do, my actions alone are not all that I can do, nor are they what she's most asking me to do. I can do all of that and then some. I can also upgrade my vibration. But if Mother Nature is so equipped, why do we need to save her? Good question, right? The answer is, we do not need to save her. We need to drop that save language real quick, because saving is not what we're doing here. Right now, the pain that Mother Earth is feeling, the rise in tides, the destruction of the Amazon, the spiking temperatures, is all a response to the core issue. Humans as a collective are separated from Mother Earth. She is vibrating up there at what the spiritual folk call 5D, or the fifth dimension, and we humans are collectively vibrating lower. The disconnection is what's causing the pain and the destruction that we can measure scientifically. This disharmony is why there is disrespect. We wouldn't need to protest against oil drilling and carbon emissions if people's hearts were more like hers. This disharmony is our work. We need to get on her level energetically. We need to be more like her in everything we do. If we really want our people to live in harmony with our planet, this has to be our compass. How can we be more like Mother Nature? How can we rise? Not how can we save her? It's our job to rise up so we can be on her level, and this disconnection between us and her can stop hurting her. Planet lovers, Earth warriors, the Earth will be healed when we as a team are on the same page as Mother Nature. She isn't changing her game at all. She has it figured out. The temperature rising, the ice caps melting, she is simply experiencing the result of our vibrational riffraff. We don't need to drop to save her or heal her. We need to rise up to meet her at her level. Get on Mother Nature's vibe. All of your mentors, coaches, guides, and books, although amazing, can teach you very little compared to what you'll learn by watching what Mother Nature does. I remind myself of this all the time. If my vibe is shit, if I need an answer, or if I just need to be reminded of what matters, I do what Mother Nature does. If I'm hurt by someone who lashed out at me on Facebook, I can borrow her grace. If I'm overthinking how to finish off the book I'm working on, I can borrow her simplicity. When I'm preparing to give birth to my firstborn child, I can borrow her trust. She is the ultimate queen, and all hail her, because she does so many things so well. So many things that we as human beings can do so much better. Mother Nature does forgiveness. There is no one on Earth who has experienced more disrespect, misunderstanding, and mistreatment than Mother Earth. Yet still, she rises the sun for us every single day. Still, she throws out colors we've never seen before as the sun goes down every night. Still, she blooms the most beautiful flowers in spring, and she still waters the farms. Still, she gives us the oceans and the waves. Still, she gives us the basic necessity for life on Earth, oxygen. She doesn't have time for grudges. Can you imagine how our lives would look if she did? What would Mother Nature do? Mother Nature does giving. She gives the most without wanting any credit. Have you ever seen Mother Nature bombard her way through a Nobel Peace Prize award ceremony and shout, "No, this is absurd. Sure, Henry Jones can create a new currency, but have you seen my sunset over Sedona? What about me?" Lols. No. She gives the most, does the most, and is the most robustly, unconditionally generous being we will ever know. And isn't it wild that she can be all of that without wanting a single ounce of credit? Note, she may not want credit, but she is slowly starting to command more respect. Natural disasters are not a mistake. They're a text message from the mama. What would Mother Nature do? Mother Nature does non-judgment. Could you imagine Mother Nature giving sunlight to an entire country, except for Mark, your ex-boyfriend, Veronica, that girl at work who follows you around trying to convert you to Christianity while telling you how wrong you are for having sex before marriage, or Aaron, the guy who took steroids at the height of his Olympic career? No, she doesn't work that way. She gives sunlight to all. And she gives sunrises to all. Rather than have an Excel spreadsheet where she tries to keep score of everyone's goods and bads like Santa Claus does, she is simple in her approach and judges no one. She isn't loving individual humans as much as she's loving a collective. She doesn't punish the ones who litter or the ones who eat more than their fair share of meat or the ones who hunt and kill. She treats all humans the same. This is why Team Earth is so critical. When you smoke, you harm your own lungs. When you treat the Earth like shit, you harm everyone on Earth. But non-judgment. This is a practice we can notice in Mother Nature and do our best to emulate. It ain't easy as a human. Insert the Judge Judy theme song in here. What would Mother Nature do? Mother Nature does patience. How many centuries has Mother Nature waited for us to learn about our oneness and togetherness and rise up to her vibration so she can stop being abused and disrespected? I don't know. Lots of centuries. She waits patiently for us to stop thinking we're at the top of the food chain, because we ain't, and still while being her graceful, patient, badass self, she nurtures us all and gives us life. Just like a mother would do for a naughty kid who's gone astray. She does that for the collective, which is made up of people who love and take care of her, and naughty kids who don't. She is patient with us while we collectively figure this out and rise up to meet her at her frequency. And yet we honk our horns at the Prius in front of us because they didn't go within 0.5 seconds of the light going green. Or we roll our eyes when we have to wait 20 minutes to be seated at a restaurant. Or we cut corners on our endeavors because the long game just seems so long. Does Mother Nature have infinite patience? I'm not sure. But her display of patience to this point is the greatest and most expansive, infinite example we will ever know. If in doubt, do what Mother Nature does. What would Mother Nature do? Mother Nature does trust. Do you ever watch people throw rubbish on the floor, treat waiters like shit, throw cigarettes out of the car window, and think, how fucking ignorant? Or even worse, do you ever get a knot in your stomach when watching something like the Paris attacks, Boston Marathon bombing, or everything happening in Syria and the Middle East on the daily, and think, it's getting worse, what the fuck is wrong with some humans? Yep, small or big. A lot of the time our frustration and our worry is A, because we are judging, or B, because we don't trust humanity and are frightened at where we're headed. I love to trust humanity, because it feels better than not trusting. I like to back my team, Team Earth, and have faith that we're moving in the right direction as a collective. And whenever my trust drops, even for a minute, I do what Mother Nature does, and I trust again. No one on Earth has seen more or been more mistreated than she has. And I don't know about you, but I haven't received any complaint emails from her yet. If she can create the Grand Canyon, then I'm pretty sure typing an email isn't so hard for her. But she never sends them. She stands strong in her faith and keeps doing what she's here to do, no matter what. What would Mother Nature do? Mother Nature is not only the most loving, compassionate, divine, nurturing being, but she is the most intelligent, period. She sits beside Source, and they share the same DNA, same as you two. How does it get any better than that? Right now, we're in this epic evolution period, right? We're collectively rising higher, we're removing and releasing old energies and patterns that no longer serve us, and we're climbing up through what feels like an energetic shitstorm into a new consciousness. It's like concrete on the sidewalk, cracking right down the middle when it's had too many people walk on it, and now, because of the new weather conditions, it hasn't been able to hold up. So the concrete is cracked, and in the middle of the crack, flowers are beginning to bloom. Flowers that couldn't bloom before when the concrete wasn't able to crack. Right now on Earth, our metaphorical concrete is cracking. New light, new flowers, new consciousness is emerging. And we can either focus on the crack, or we can focus on the flowers. Mother Nature focuses on the flowers, and she sees and feels more of the cracks than any of us. She makes a stand for what is coming, what is true, what is light. Even while so many of us remain focused on what's broken or what's cracking, she knows what's happening, and she stays focused on the new flowers that are emerging. We can do that too. She is soft, but knows when to stand her ground. Natural disasters aren't a mistake. They're not just a big old whoopsie that happened when Mother Nature and Source were planning their calendars out. Mother Nature is intentional. Everything about her is intentional. Every rainfall is intentional. Every sunny day is intentional. Every storm is intentional. And every natural disaster is intentional. She will roar when she needs us to take a closer look. That's what natural disasters are. She won't rob us of our opportunity to rise up together. That's our evolution, and she's not going to do our dirty, epic work for us. But she will nudge us, and she does nudge us. Do you notice? If we don't do our best to take care of global warming, the tides will rise and beachside cities will be wiped. Perhaps our kids or our kids' kids won't ever see the glaciers of today. She's not going to cover up for us, but she will love us on our journey and give us clues and signs. It's up to us to pay attention. There will be consequences for mistreating our Earth. Exactly what they are, I can't tell you. But you only have to pay a tad bit attention to the science that's so available to us and the work of so many planeteers who dedicate their life to educating and showing the world not only what's happening, but what's going to happen. You are far more equipped than you think, and we have everything we need to bring humanity into harmony with our Earth. What would Mother Nature do? What's most required of us now, superhero, is that we be more like her. What would Mother Nature do? There is so much conversation around what we can do to save Mother Nature. Should I compost, go vegan, sell my car? Superheroes understand that it's not only about upgrading our action, but upgrading our vibration. Mother Nature is our greatest mentor and guide, and she is always showing us, guiding us, nudging us. And if we can pay attention to her like she is our greatest ever mentor, we'll be more like her. So, if in doubt, do what Mother Nature does. Hashtag WWMND. We gotta raise the collective vibe. 11 or more ways to upgrade your action for our mama. It's simply non-negotiable. To experience harmony with Mama Earth, we need to upgrade our vibration and upgrade our action. How do we upgrade our vibration? We've been speaking about it throughout this entire book. The living section of this book is that message. But let's talk about action. Our children get it. They are being born with an innate connection to our Earth and an innate distaste at anything which harms her. I get messages weekly from friends whose children have declared things like, "I don't want to eat my friends. No more turkey sandwiches, Mama." The planet is in safe hands when our children start to lead. I have no doubt about that. But we've got to do our absolute best until then. Our children are counting on us. I think of the quote by His Holiness Dalai Lama, "Our prime purpose in this life is to help others. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them." The same goes for our Earth. If you don't want to become an activist, at least reduce your impact and your imprint. This isn't just a job for the tree-hugging hippies. It's a job for everyone who gives a shit about their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. When I see someone pick up rubbish or take their own reusable keep cup to a cafe, I say thank you, either out loud or under my breath, because it's not just their home they're taking care of. It's mine, my husband's, my mum's, my dog's, my siblings', and most importantly, it's my unborn daughter's. Superhero, on behalf of Mama Nature, can we count on you to upgrade your action and take daily responsibility to upgrade your vibration? This book has given you so many examples of way to raise your vibe, the entire living section. Because after all, it's the greatest gift we can give each other and our Earth. And I'm giving you 11 or more ways to act, support your Earth Mama, and to raise your action. They are in no particular order because just go do them. Don't rank them. Don't overthink them. Number 1. Chase people who put junk mail in your letterbox down the street. Junk mail is so 2000 and so not now. We have a no junk mail sign on our letterbox and people still put brochures for the local supermarket, the eyebrow lady, and the pizza shop down the street in there. I get it. Local business matters, but junk mail has got to go. Number 2. Shop consciously. This is probably the biggest. You're voting for a more sustainable world every time you spend a dollar. Shop locally when it comes to food. Buy clothes and products from companies who have sustainable and ethical practices in place. Or vintage if you're rad. Support companies who really give a shit. This is how we together make sustainable companies the most relevant and create a whole new standard together. Every dollar matters. Number 3, eat more plant-based. I'm not going to tell you you need to go vegan. I eat a plant-based diet because it feels good to me, and I know I'm contributing to the planet even a tiny bit by going without animal products. Do some research if you're not sure why. Watch Cowspiracy. I don't think the whole world is ready to go vegan, and in some cultures, it just isn't on the radar. But I do think we can take small steps. Include some animal-free days into your family's eating week. Begin with one or two. If you feel called to veganism or even vegetarianism, then go for it. It's easy and inexpensive as long as you educate yourself properly about how best to get everything you need. I thrive being vegan, especially throughout my pregnancy. Number 4, use compostable products. Nappies, garbage bags, paper towels, toilet paper. They are a few places to begin. Landfill is a big contributor to CO2 in the environment. Compostable and biodegradable products are from renewable resources like bamboo and reduce the burden on landfill. One company I love is Who Gives a Crap Toilet Paper, a social enterprise that is good for people and the planet and your bum. Check them out. Number 5, recycle. Seems so obvious, so 1990, but many people still don't recycle. Be the recycle Nazi in your house if you have to be. I am in mine, soz not soz, honey. If you're not sure how, research. And also check the recycling system in your neighborhood. Buying recycled products helps too. This book is made from recycled paper. Hashtag save the trees. Number 6. Get a hybrid or electric car or carpool more. I'm not going to be a dummy and suggest everyone goes and gets a Tesla or a Prius. But if you are in the market for a new car, there are electric or hybrids in most people's budgets, and more are being introduced to the market every day. Tesla is coming out with a Model 3 in order to be a more mainstream, affordable model. If you love your gas guzzler, be more mindful of carpooling to reduce emissions. Number 7, plant more trees. Whether you do it yourself, join your community, or give your friends trees planted in your name as a gift, there are lots of organizations who allow you to buy trees planted. They plant the trees in their forest, and you give a certificate to your family or friend in their name, letting them know. I buy my husband trees every year. Trees, socks, and jocks. Number 8, print less. Simple. Print less where you can, double-sided where possible. Number 9, give your clothes away. Recycled anything is super valuable, clothes included. Have a clothes trading day with your buds where you bring all of your clothes over and just swap them. Or take them to an organization that provides clothes to those in need, or a church or a shelter. Number 10, pick up rubbish even if you need to chase it. Be that guy who runs down the street attempting 5 times to step on the ice cream wrapper. Even if you don't catch it, make sure you bloody catch it. You'll likely inspire people around you to realize that it's up to us to keep our earth clean. And you'll burn some calories. And people might even help you when they see the wild chase. Number 11, watch the documentaries. Face the facts just so you're aware. Most documentaries about the planet leave us feeling either A, concerned, or B, inspired. I think a combination of both is healthy. Documentaries like Earthlings and Cowspiracy are confronting for many, but they're informative. And for people to make decisions about their habits, it's important that we know the facts. Do your research beyond the documentaries too if some information doesn't sit well. Just equip and empower yourself. Number 12, get rid of plastic and don't drink from plastic water bottles. Don't buy them. Instead, buy a sweet non-plastic water bottle so you can tote around quite easily, like a Sig bottle that says, "Friends don't let friends drink from plastic." Plastic bottles are floating in our oceans, polluting our groundwater and our insides, and are fueled by companies who are taking the fresh water from communities who need it. There are plenty of reasons to ditch the plastic, but if you need more, watch the documentary Tapped. Pop out, love notes to Mother Nature. In the hardcover or the ebook version of this book, there are a bunch of love notes written to Mother Nature from people in my tribe. I'm just going to read a couple, not all of them. Dear Mother Nature, thank you for having mountains that I can climb on to see the world and myself a little clearer. Thank you for giving me a place of stillness, a place of adventure, and a place of connection. Sarah. Thank you for showing me beauty and magic everywhere. Thank you for giving me everything I need in order to thrive. Thank you for showing me strength along with ease, grace, and flow. Thank you for reminding me to surrender and breathe. Alexandra. Thank you for being our greatest teacher, for being a living example of forgiveness as we slowly learn our way towards oneness. Thank you for this playground, this heaven on earth. Adam. Back to where we began, our vibration. It all comes back to you. While writing this book, I've had some moments where I've paused and asked myself, can I really suggest that the biggest work of our generation is to focus relentlessly on our own alignment and vibration, to lighten up and stop taking ourselves and our deep work so seriously? And every time I've asked, my soul has piped up like a crazy football fan with her hands on either side of her mouth, yelling, yes! Wrapping up this giving a shit section of this book, I think about myself and the impact prioritizing my alignment has on those around me and the planet. When I'm aligned, feeling good, in my flow, unkinked, I'm so much more giving. When I'm aligned, I'm effortlessly generous to everyone around me. I do things like surprise my sister with an airfare voucher so she can come and visit. I'm clear and sure. I don't hesitate to follow my excitements, to book the flight, to go on the picnic, to write this book. I listen more intently to the people I'm in conversation with because I'm not needing from them. I'm just fine. And because I'm fine, I'm present. I get on a Facebook Live with fire and passion and an energy that moves people more than my words. I become crazily thoughtful. I sit and text people all the things I love about them, just as if I'm high from a cup of coffee. I'm open-hearted and see the beautiful qualities in people rather than the things that bug me. I let people off the hook, whether it's my family, presidents, people I butt heads with. I can easily and quickly remember that everyone is doing their best. I'm just better to those around me. I'm better to the world when I'm in my alignment. We began this book in chapter 1 by reminding you that your greatest commitment to this planet as a superhero is your alignment, your vibration. And I'm finishing up with this too. This doesn't mean you need to look like someone who has never come down from 7 years straight at Burning Man. Or you can, whatevs. It doesn't mean you ignore your human-as-fuck emotions that make you the fierce, grounded badass that you are. It doesn't mean you pretend every day is your favorite day and that shit doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean you become Positive Pete and avoid all situations and emotions that aren't worthy of being turned into a sunset background meme. It doesn't mean that you don't honor the rage you feel when you see injustice and disrespect and behaviors that challenge your love for the world. No, it doesn't mean any of those things at all. Vibing high, or prioritizing your, not somebody else's, mind you, alignment means focusing on your flowing tap, making your unkinked hose your numero uno, most important for every single day for the rest of your life. This means being beautifully aware of the world and its contrasts, and noticing what the contrasts stir up in you, so you can choose to respond, or not. This means crafting your own choices, values, and rules that make you feel good now, and not when Jim and Mary like your shit on Facebook. This means to focus where it matters for you to focus, and to stop pretending like every single energetic invitation is one in which you need to respond. This means to stop pretending everything matters, because not everything does. This means to move through life genuinely grateful that you're here, to remember what a privilege it is to be human at this time where all is ripe for us to create epic shit. This means to turn off the TV and stop pretending that their news is your news and that the same reality applies to everyone. This means to rearrange your values and metrics so that you're not measuring the goodness or suckiness of your life based on an old model of success that isn't yours. This means to look up and leave your phone in your bag. This means to turn the corners of your mouth up and just sit in the appreciation for your life that this entire multiverse is wanting you to win. This means to listen to the excitement of surprise and scrap your whole calendar and go surfing in Fiji because random exciting shit is just as much your responsibility as your other commitments. This means it's time to stop prioritizing everything and anything over the one thing you are most responsible for, your alignment. And the vibration your alignment gifts the world. Your alignment comes first. And you just watch how the world responds to a commitment like that. Because this is what the planet most wants from us. What we most want from each other. And what you most want from you. It was partly Paul Hawkins' Portland speech of 2009 that inspired the title of this book. So I will leave you with a piece of it. I leave you with all the information I have to share and with the words that have inspired me the most. By reading and applying what you learned in this book, you're fighting the good fight. You're fighting the good fight in the new way, which is really just the old way, made fresh again. So some words by Paul Hawken. The great thing about the dilemma we're in is that we get to reimagine every single thing we do. There isn't a single thing that doesn't require a complete remake. There are two ways of looking at that. One is, oh my gosh, what a big burden. The other way, which I prefer, is, what a great time to be born. What a great time to be alive. Because this generation gets to essentially, completely change the world. And now to you. You are absolutely brilliant, and Earth is hiring you. The bonus section, the script, the keys to conscious creation. You have to tell the story how you want it to go. Abraham Hicks. Okay, so I'm going to read a modified version of the bonus section that's in the hardcover of the book. So it'd be ideal if you had either the ebook or the hardcover section, because this is much easier to read than to listen to. But I'm going to give it my best shot. Okay, so this is where we rewrite your stories and upgrade the instruction you're giving to the world. You know about manifesting. You know about the law of attraction. Even if, like me, those words remind you of people with mullets at Abraham Hicks events. So rad. But do you consciously use it? Do you get it? Does it work? Is it working for you? There are three steps to conscious creation that are important to know. It's important because I feel like most people make their biggest mistake by stopping their practice just before it becomes super duper effective in their lives. The first step to conscious creation is trust. This is when you believe in this law of attraction manifesting stuff, and you truly do believe that you can create anything you want. You haven't gone much deeper than this yet, though. You don't have a solid daily intentional practice. Often at this step, you wait until things are going not how you want them to go, before realizing you better take check on the instructions you're giving to the world. Step number two is to know. This is when you are practicing some sort of intentional conscious creation every day and seeing some evidence. Like $500 gets put back into your account by your landlord. Cool people show up in your life. You get an opportunity that blows your mind and is exactly what you request. You know conscious creation to be true for you. But after receiving some evidence and feeling like a manifesting wizard, you stop practicing. Beware, most people stop at step two. But step three is embody. This step is the money. This is when you are so consistent with your daily practice of upgrading your story and consciously choosing what you want, that what you want becomes as certain for you as your name. Embodiment is when your entire being is giving the universe the instructions you want to give, without you even trying. This is when the story you're telling yourself on autopilot matches the story you want to see become real in your life. This is where what you want and what you see are the same thing. This is when the entire universe starts responding to your highest desires at God speed, with the universe sporting a, but of course, smirk. You will get what you want when you feel what it feels like to have it. Another one of my favorite Abraham Hicks bombs. The work is not just in thinking about you want or writing it down and shoving it into your undie drawer. It's about embodying what you want so that your being sings only that song and you see only those things. This is why we script, and this is why we don't miss a day of reading it. Shall we? With the script, you get to choose. We spoke briefly about stories in the leading section of this book. The stories we tell instruct our lives. Here's where we tell the stories we actually want to become real. The script. Oh, the script, my beloved. The script is my number one ride or die, go to, tell everyone about, practice religiously, never miss a day tool. I've done a lot of manifesting kind of stuff in my time, but this one takes the cake and will forever be part of my conscious creation process. The script to me is all about choosing. It's about letting the universe, God, source, know our preferences, and, more importantly, It's embodying a new story within you. That new story becomes your new identity. That new identity becomes your new instruction. Source hears, and the world then responds. Manifesting can feel like a bit of a buzzword, but the script to me isn't that. The script is practical. It's a practice, exercising our power to choose and upgrading the instruction we're giving to the world. It works. So, shall we write one? Here's what we're going to do. Learn how to write a script, read some of one of mine, and I'll give you a little example of how scripts can turn into real life. How to write a script. This is a movie script you're writing, but the movie is your epic life and you are the main character. You are giving instruction to your life in the form of a "it's already happened" movie script. As you write it and read it, it's as if the movie is already in the cinemas, because pretty soon it will be available for all to see in real life. Box office hit. I've started with the instructions for writing your script, but it may help you to digest them better if you listen ahead to some examples. 10 steps to writing your script. How do you want your life to be? What do you want to create? Step 1. Choose to write it when you're feeling good, not when you're feeling tired or ugh. Choose a time or day or a special place, or just sit down and go for it when you're feeling hot and high vibe. I cozy up with a tap opening cup of cacao every time I update mine. Step 2. Always focus on how you feel. You will write about specific things, events, people, and places throughout, but focus on feeling. This gives the universe room to move and surprise and delight you. So, if you've got a big keynote planned, how do you want to feel throughout it? When you choose how you want to feel, you're controlling the outcome without controlling the outcome. Know what I mean? Step 3. Write in present or past tense, never future tense. So it's always as if it's happening right now or if it just happened. For example, the event was the best event ever. Or, it's the morning of day 2 of the event and I feel so lit up and clear. Whatever feels best to you. Remember, you're writing a script about the life you want. Number 4. Begin with a paragraph detailing how you feel in general. So what's your general vibe day to day? How do you feel when you wake up and go to bed? What are your thought patterns? How do you feel about life? Go wild here. Remember, this is how you want to feel. Step 5. Move through the next 6 to 12 months of your life in chronological order. So like one paragraph for each part of your movie works best. For instance, like a pregnancy, an event coming up, a flight coming up, a move. You aren't meant to get it all right and know for sure what's around the corner, but think of things you have coming up. Maybe a trip somewhere with your family, a promotion you're going for, an event you want to go to, a trip you want to take, a program you've joined. Or maybe something like you're having a baby, moving overseas, anything at all. Script it out as it goes in your My Epic Life box office movie script. Number 6. Add in as much detail as possible throughout that makes it feel so real for you. For example, I smile to my husband and grab his hand. I don't want to grab my phone like I usually do when we're taking off to fly. I'm so present, calm, and grateful. Remember, the power of the script is in choosing your outcome no matter what the details are. So choosing how it feels no matter what happens. The details are up to God. The choosing is up to you. Step 7. Go through and add color. Highlight words or phrases that are super powerful for you and make them pop. Color gives energy too. So you can add drawings or images if you want to also. Step 8. Finish with a powerful statement. My favorite is, everything is getting better and better. How does it get any better than this? Step 9. Read it every morning or night, or at another time of the day when you're feeling good, like lunchtime, in nature, or mid-morning with your coffee and cacao. I like to play a Rampage from Abraham Hicks, or some pump-up high-vibe music, or do some whack Beyoncé dancing before I read mine, just to get me feeling really good. Your script works better when you're feeling good. Everything does. Step 10. Update your script regularly. You want it to get to the point where while you're reading your script, you feel like, well, duh. The goal is to embody your script, not just to trust and know it. I expand on my same script, but I edit it as time goes to accommodate for new things coming up. I do this about 1 to 2 times a month. There is no right or wrong for this. It's just totally your relationship with your own script. This is really important. Do not miss a day of reading your script. Many people miss a day. They get excited by it and things start to show up that make them think, oh, look how hot I am. I'm a manifesting master. Only to then stay at level two, the no phase that we talked about, and they don't move on to step three, the embody phase. This is what your ego wants you to do, and you need to be mindful of the ways your mind will tell you. Like, just stop reading it now. You've been so good with it. We have 24 hours in the day. 10 minutes a day to read your script is doable for everyone. So these are just some of my script guidelines, but you do you. Just go nuts. Do what feels good. And here are some hot tips and frequently asked questions about the script. You can handwrite it or type it. Do whatever feels good to you. I type it on Google Docs so that I can edit it regularly, add color, and then add it to books on my phone. I can also, like, barely read my own handwriting, so this is why. It can be as long or short as you want. My current script is 5 pages because I've got a lot of personal stuff, scripting around this book and other genius projects, my birth, my pregnancy, beyond my birth. It can be 2 to 5-ish pages, or it can be more or less. You choose. Mine takes me about 5 to 7 minutes to read. Doable? Yes. You may want to include things that have already happened so that it makes your script feel even more real to you. Like, 2016 was the best year ever. I got married to my stud muffin of a husband, we bought a house, and I experienced dot, dot, dot. So then you can't tell the difference between what's happened and what's coming. It's all real. Read it out loud if you want to, or just read it. I read mine quietly to myself most days, but occasionally I'll read it out loud just for fun. Some people audio record themselves reading their script on their phone and play it while they drive, before bed, or while they're getting ready in the morning. Powerful. If you feel called, share your script with your closest person, like your partner, your kids, your soul sister. My husband now also reads his script in bed every night. It's just something we do, no matter what. And it's so special now that he's got his own very own script. Add energetic words that you would normally use, like, oh my God, and or fuck bombs, if that's your thing. Words like beyond and ever, as in better than ever, are powerful and expansive. All the capitals are also allowed. Have fun with it. Remember that I can guide you, but you are the guru. Write it how it feels good and adjust it as it feels good. The money script. In order to rewrite your money story, you will need to have positive statements about money in your script. Come up with a few of your own or add some from below. Remember, this is your story. Money is a divine spiritual entity and it's up to each of us to choose our relationship with it. I'm so bloody grateful I'm on the same team as money now and not competing with it. What a shift. I now feel excited and grateful when I open my online banking. I used to feel anxious, but not anymore. I love being pleasantly surprised by what I see on that screen. The universe loves loaning me money to create epic shit, experiences, memory, gifts, and health. With money, I can build and create epic things for this planet that rewards so many people and our Earth. I am so grateful to have all of the resources to do everything that I'm called to do. All of my needs are met, and although I don't need more, I choose to create more, because this is an abundant universe, and I am always the one who chooses. Money listens to everything I say, and I love giving props to money and speaking nicely about all the ways it supports me to thrive, give, and create. I love owning my money story regardless of anyone else, even those close to me. Everyone evolves at their own time. Money loves coming to me because I generate it consciously on behalf of all. I love thinking of all the ways money in the hands of heart consciousness can raise the vibe on Earth. I love finding ways to serve the world and letting them show their appreciation with money. I create value, receive money, and then do it again, but better. Money in my hands serves the collective and our planet. I love knowing that money isn't mine, but on loan to me from source. I love what I can generate with money and that my relationship with money is conscious and heart-centered. I always feel light when I think of money. It has nothing to do with the amount, but the understanding that it's always there for me when I'm in alignment with it. I love being able to help anyone or anything I feel called to help with the abundance of money I have available from the universe. Now we're going to get real and talk about your specific feelings about money. Finish the following statements in your own words. When I check my bank account, I feel. I love that I can now. When I'm giving, I feel. When I think about money, I now feel. So obviously pause so you have time to write these. Remember, this is how you want to feel. This is going in your script, what you want to create. Now, add your money story right into your script. If you're feeling confused, overwhelmed, or a little writer's block, here's an example of what it could feel and read like. I am so grateful for how money works in my life. I'm so grateful I did the work to dissolve all the energetic crap I had around money for so long. I feel so in the choice now and not controlled by money. I feel so free. I love living my life in alignment, knowing that money isn't my core focus. Instead, it is alignment. I'm so grateful at my fast Wi-Fi, the fact I can shop at Whole Foods, being able to drink nutritious high-vibe water, knowing that if my friends need me, I can be on a plane at any time, being able to invest in personal development. I love being in the appreciation of money and letting money be simply a playful teammate of mine. It's June 2018. My money story work is showing up in my life beyond anything I used to dream. Wow, it's working. My bank account is showing numbers and digits I've never seen before, and I'm finally driving my new Tesla. I give more than my old 10% of my income to causes and organizations I care about because there is no limit now to what I can give. I am giving to such and such organization, and it feels so good every month to give to them and to be able to give to them because I changed my money story. I can feel in every cell how consciousness and money can be one, and I'm so free of the burden of hating it. I love buying all organic food for my organic grocer every week without feeling bad about spending money on myself. I love nurturing myself. I love giving my body the best. I love being able to take my mom for organic facials once a month. I love being able to surprise my friends. And that just feels so good. I've got other examples in the ebook or the hardcover copy of this book that you can read of money stories and money scripts. So let's move on to some scripting for other areas of your life. What stories do you want to tell? So you know how I spoke about that paragraph you open with how you want to feel? Here's an example for that. From my own. Everything is getting even better. I am the happiest person ever, and my vibration is so expansive, playful, and vibrant. I am in my tap, and every single day I am receiving all of the love, abundance, success, surprises, and opportunities that are coming to me. Every day I feel more and more in the genuine bliss and gratitude of my life. My thoughts are naturally positive, and my vibration is rising higher every day. I am attracting so many epic, beyond epic surprises in my life. It's getting better and better and better. So now here's a little bit of my pregnancy script that I had. I evolved the pregnancy aspect of my script several times as it progressed, and also added some scripts around my birth. But this is part of my first ever pregnancy script. I'm so blessed with the most amazing, loving, caring, fun, handsome husband, and our love expands blissfully every day. Being married to Eric is the greatest joy, and every day we rise higher and higher in love together. I am pregnant with the healthiest, happy, sweet, chubby, cute, wise, loving, connected, smart baby, and it's the greatest joy in the world to be experiencing pregnancy for the first time. I love being called to slow down by my body and take extra rest so that I can nurture myself and my baby. It's like we check into the spa together each day, put our feet up, and just bask in the presence of this special day of the pregnancy. Each day of the pregnancy is so special, and I love celebrating each day for its magic and newness. I love how much more aware my pregnancy is helping me to be. I'm so extra aware of foods to eat and not to eat, certain smells. It's like my awareness got a 1,000 times boost so that I can best take care of myself and our baby during this time. I love the gift of extra awareness pregnancy brings, and I love the gifts of extra self-care pregnancy brings. I am so healthy. My baby is so healthy. My baby knows that my body is so super healthy and that our birth will be phenomenally beautiful, amazing, and healthy. We are happier every day and enjoying the pregnancy every moment. She is thriving in my belly, and I trust my body to support and nurture her innately. So here's an example of something coming up. I'm on my flight to Australia now, and I'm so excited. I can feel the angels surrounding the plane, nurturing and protecting our baby and me, and fueling us with extra divine light, joy, and exciting downloads from the cosmos, just because. I love the gift of self-nourishment and the little joys like this that this pregnancy brings. And now, some of my script that I wrote before my big event, the New Way Live in Sydney. I am prepared and 100% ready to have and be in the space for 2 days and let amazing, fresh information flow through me powerfully. I love how ready I am, how relaxed I am about the event. It's freaking awesome. I am light, happy, expansive, trusting, excited, and so grateful to be able to give this event and experience this two special days with my tribe. As much as it's for them, I know I'm receiving so much joy, happiness, love, satisfaction from this event, and I let it all in. Lauren is super organized and on top of everything, even more than I can dream of. She so gets the vision and just is such an epic member of my team. She has gone above and beyond, and everything is flowing so smoothly and beyond. We walk through the venue on Tuesday and it looks amazing, super rustic and big, and just the perfect vibe for the event. I'm bouncing with excitement and so much happiness for everyone to see it. I spend just a tiny bit of time looking over the slides, but I feel so great about the way everything's organized. The website is all complete, the systems are hooked up. It's all seamless. It's Friday and we head into the venue. Oh my God, it looks so epic. Everyone is going to lose their shit when they see it. It's just so rad, so cool, so funky, and has an energy of play and expansiveness. Even the venue on its own is transformative because people are so used to boring old hotel venues. Their vibes are going to be elevated, expanded, enlightened, and super joyous when they see this one. It's game day, Saturday morning. I wake up feeling amazing, light, happy, present, calm, clear, ever ready. And I know it's going to be the most fun light event I've ever done to date. Every event I do gets better and better and better. How does it get any better than this? So that's just a little example of a script from my event. And in the book or the ebook, there is a bunch of examples of script wins. So you can see that the proof is in the pudding. I included a handful of script wins from people in my tribe. It's really fun. And if you write your own script and you have a script win, be sure to comment on social media the hashtag #scriptwin so that we can find it and cheer you on. You're done and you're so hired. Thank you for being on this journey with me. Stay in touch on Instagram and Facebook and share whatever you found valuable. Take photos, share your favorite parts, and just let me know what resonated for you. Use the hashtag #EarthIsHiring. I hope to see you at an event soon. Tour dates and all other book-related goodness can be found at earthishiring.com. Glossary. Ayahuasca. Definition taken from Mackenzie Maslow. Ayahuasca, Aya, is a plant medicine from Peru. A tea that is brewed from a vine and a leaf, traditionally consumed for spiritual connectivity by shamans and Amazonian people. The spirit of Aya is very feminine. Once you work with her, you understand why everyone refers to her as Madre. She is known as the mother of all plants, the bridge between you and your higher self. She will heal, cleanse, purge, transform, invite, love, connect, and inspire. For me, it's primarily a conversation about everything. Purpose, business, relationships, love, and the world. Chief entity, the spiritual boss of your company or creative project. Sitting above the CEO, CMO, and COO, otherwise known as your vision. The chief entity guides you as you lead the project on earth, sending you ideas, nudges, and offering yes or no when making decisions. The chief entities hand-select humans who are equipped and aligned with their ideals in order to create the company, project, not-for-profit, or creation. The chief entity is where spirit and business combine. Conscious enterprise, a business, organization, or enterprise that includes the planet and the next generation as two of their most important stakeholders and makes decisions, products, and policies that reflect this ideal. Conscious money, money that is generated and circulated consciously and with appreciation. The result of bridging the gap between your soul, work, and money. The state of a healed and healthy relationship with money. And an upgraded money story. Divine entity. A being from up there, where source, God, the creator is. Something with its own existence. Invisible to the eye, but real and felt. Freedom lifestyle. Being able to work independent of location with just a laptop and good Wi-Fi. A trend amongst millennials who choose not to work a 9-to-5 office job in pursuit of more freedom, adventure, and creative environments. Homie. A person that you resonate with so deeply that their words and presence make you feel at home. You can have real-life homies, and you can also have Instagram homies you've never even met. Homie is also used to describe someone you grew up with or a member of your community. Human as fuck. Human as fuck is the state of being equal parts magic and messy. Appreciating the contradictions in our lives and letting them be okay, i.e. meditating in the morning in deep gratitude and then flipping the bird at the guy who cut you off in traffic. Being human as fuck allows you to just be like, yeah, okay, so I got mega pissed off today even though I'm wearing all white and headed off to Kundalini. Identity. The comfort level in terms of money, relationship, productivity, success. The state that creates a vibration and instructs the world to give you more of it. To upgrade your life in any area, you've got to upgrade your identity. Genius. Jeanius. Secret spiritual signature. A mix between passion, purpose, and genius. Soul's genius, unlike intellectual genius. The gifts and the talents that we can pursue by listening to and